Hello?
This is a collect call from
Life of a Lifer.
To accept this call, press 5 now.
Hello and welcome, friends and family. Taylor Conley here, host of Life of a Lifer. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Storytime. Last time I came at you with the story time, it was about the Incredible Hulk, the energy drink that I make, homemade in here. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But today what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back. I'm going to take you back and tell you a little bit more about some of the things that I've been through since entering into the system at the age of 20 when I was arrested, picked up, and charged with the highest crime that you could ever possibly be charged with. I was facing the death penalty. Waking up in a cell, realizing how these charges were coming over me and that potentially I could be facing the death penalty, and not understanding why this was happening as I was wrongfully convicted. I got charged for something that I didn't do. But the fact of the matter is I was strung out on drugs. I was out there running the streets and doing a lot of stupid shit and getting wrapped up with a lot of the wrong people and doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. But that was the journey that brought me to waking up in a cell. When I first came in, they had me in the holding cell for the first week or so. And I don't remember a lot of it. Those first few months, I don't even remember a lot of it because I was still kind of in shock. At the same time, coming off of drugs and in disbelief that this was happening to me. So I'm in there. I don't have anything. All I have is a mattress. And then finally, I think I got a book, but I wasn't interested in reading the book. I didn't have access to communicate with anybody. I finally got linked up with my lawyer because I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand the gravity of it, and they kept trying to get me to talk to them about all what happened. I'm like, I don't know nothing. I don't know what happened. And so they're threatening me with the death penalty. They're telling me that I'm going to spend the rest of my life in prison if I don't tell them what happened and blah, 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 so on and so forth. They know that I did this. And so it went forth from there, but I understood that anything that I would say would potentially be used against me. And anything that I say here could potentially be used against me, as I still have my appeals and stuff going on. But I think that it's important to give people context to the backstory of this whole venture since 2006 when this transpired and my life changed forever. I think that people should hear from people like me, how was it like? How did this feel? How did this even happen? How is it even possible to make it through such situations? I got to tell you that I think being in disbelief that it was even real, that this was even going on, was something that helped me to get through those times. During those times, I was still trying to comprehend what to do. And that whole time, I sat in county jail for 2 years, a little over 2 years, I think, before I faced my trial. And I honestly felt that I was going to go home after that. The whole time, I never thought that I would actually get found guilty because I didn't do what they're trying to claim that I did, which was rob and kill somebody. And it blows my mind that the way the system goes is that if you don't tell, if you're not willing to cooperate and they feel you either did it or there's a chance that you did it or something, they're going to hold you accountable for everything. And that's what happened to me because I was not willing to cooperate. I ended up faced with the highest consequence that you could get aside from the death penalty, which I strongly feel that life without the possibility of parole in prison is equal to that, if not worse, because you have to spend the rest of your life in prison. And so as I'm sitting there in these holding cells, and then finally after intake and all that stuff, I get moved into a unit in the population there. It was crazy, man. I had literally multiple fights that I was in because the guy who was my co-defendant or other people, that this guy was trying to say that I was telling on him. And so his friends were trying to get at me. And that took place for a while. And so it was a rough time during those times until the truth came out, which was that it was the other way around. And the fact that that took place in the very beginning showed a lot of people who I was. And I was doing the wrong things, and I was doing a lot of things that I shouldn't have been doing at that time. But I still believe in the fact that I wasn't going to try to drag somebody else down to get myself out of that situation. And nobody believes in that. All these people are hardcore thugs and gangsters and all this shit. And they'll tell on their own family, drag other people down to save themselves from something. Doesn't matter. And those are people that did it. I didn't even do this shit, but I still wasn't willing to drag other people down with me, because I don't believe that people say, oh, well, if you're not willing to be honest, or you're not willing to tell the truth, then, well, I don't fucking know. Oh, well, you gotta know something. Well, I don't. And that's what, I mean, my lawyer was like, come on, man, we gotta make a deal. You could get less time. I can make you a deal. And then they came at me with a deal, and the deal was 45 years. And I was like, no. I'm 20 years old, 45 years, I'm going to be 65 when I get out of prison? No. That's the best thing that you can do for me? What kind of lawyer are you? All the way up until my trial, the lawyers were trying to get me to take a deal for something that I didn't do. So why would I do that? That's what I kept telling them. Why would I do that? I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go and take a deal for something that I didn't do. And then, oh, well, just tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. I don't know what happened. I don't know. So I fought my way literally through those first months in jail. And then once everybody understood what was happening, what was going on, everybody has shown me love since then and tried to help make things right. And yet it still never has. It's 15 years later, 2020, and this pandemic that's going on with everything that's happening in the world, and I'm still here. I have appeals in, and the crazy thing is now that all this time has passed and I finally figured out all the things that were done in my case, which were faulty, you can go on the freetaylorproject.com and you can see my whole case. You can see how faulty it was, in which I got convicted, and yet they say that it's time barred. That's the thing that bothers me about the court system, is most people, when they get dragged into the system, they don't understand the law or how it works, and they don't get a good representation by a lawyer who looks at the real issues of the case. So then you end up becoming basically a victim of the system. Even if you are a perpetrator, you are a criminal who breaks the law, you're screwed, because then all your rights are stripped away and you're left to have the fate of a lawyer representing you that doesn't necessarily have your best interest at hand. They just want to keep that conviction because it costs so much money to overturn a case and take you back to trial again. And it's just all a game of money, which is very sad, because there's a lot of people that are wrongfully convicted in prison or over-sentenced. There's so much over-sentencing going on. There's a lot of people that, whether you did it or not, have rehabilitated. I don't sit here and say that I wasn't doing a lot of things that were wrong. I wasn't like an innocent out there. I wasn't somebody that was going about living my life doing things that were right. Obviously, I wouldn't have been brought into this whole situation. So I take responsibility for that. I take responsibility for the fact that I put myself in the position to come here. But I haven't sat on my ass and done nothing with my time. I've done a lot of good stuff to rehabilitate myself, even if it's not available to me, I've created it. I think, looking back at those first times sitting in jail with nothing but some county greens or blues, whatever color they were at that time, to where I'm at now, I feel that I've come a long, long ways. And I want to tell you more about my story and more about the beginning times throughout my incarceration, leading up to the trial, my going through the trial, what that was like for me and how it made me feel and how I experienced that, seeing my family that was still there for me, how it affected them. I want to let you in and tell you more of the human side of it, not what you've read about or what I've talked about, what's happening now and all the things that I've been involved with now. But I'd like to lead you up to that to see where I was at, where I came from, and how it's transpired and where I'm at today. So stay tuned. Next week, I'm going to go in again on story time. Make sure that you follow us. Subscribe to our channel. We're trying to not only get my voice out there, but we're trying to get others' voices out there too. You can check out the podcast, Life of a Lifer. Check out everything that we're doing on social media. We have the magazine. We came out with an EP with the artist Seth Anthony, and we got Bubba Sparks on there, another formerly incarcerated individual, Burden, on there. We're trying to do stuff to get the story out there, to get the message out there so people understand. But I want to come on here and tell people a little bit about my backstory and how it's been the last 15 years from the start to the finish. So I'm going to keep coming every week with a new episode. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening. I'm Taylor Conley, and this is Life of a Lifer podcast. Be sure to visit the website lifeofalifer.com, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.